Blog Talk Radio.
जासु हृदयागार बसही राम सर छाप धर अतुलित बल धाम.
Hello and welcome to A Question of Faith, and now your host Bishop Christina Rink.
ज्ञानी नाम गृगनियम सकल गुण निधानम वानरान नाम दीशम रघुपति प्रिय भक्तम वात जातम नमामि गोष्पदी कृतवारिषम.
Welcome everybody to A Question of Faith. I'm one of your co-hosts, Christina Rake, and with me is your other co-host, Dr. Chuck Kennedy. Are you with us, Dr. Chuck?
Yes, I am. How's everyone doing tonight?
I hope you're all doing good. We had a really, really interesting show last week, and what we thought, oh yeah, and I'll talk about some of the follow-up, the residual, just for myself. For those of you who are were with us last week, we did a live on-air past life regression. Dr. Chuck is an expert hypnotist and expert in neurolinguistic programming. So he took me back to a couple of past lives. We explored them. He showed everybody the technique that they can use. However, we strongly recommend that you did it with somebody. And then I saw things. Things happened. We recorded it. And then in the ensuing week, it's interesting. You start to find a lot of things falling into place. At least I did. So what we decided to do, and we announced it last week, we're dedicating this show to call-ins. If you have a question about what happened last week or want to share an experience, if you have a question about past life regression, about hypnosis, about your own past lives, I'm available here to sort of help you out. I can come up with past lives for you as a psychic medium. I have done that in the past and been fairly accurate at it. Of course, for me, I don't like doing them because there's no way to verify that I was right. And it's not just about ego. It's about wanting to be sure that you got what you needed. I could make any old thing up I wanted. That's why when people wanted to pay me, I'm like, for past life readings? No. how do you know you got what you paid for? There's no way for you to know. But anyway, I can might be able to do that and help you, or you can ask about anything else that you have going on. We could talk about soul contracts with you. If you've had an incident in your life that perhaps you want to talk through with us and see if we have any ideas about what happened, you can certainly call in for that too. The number is 347-633-9174. 347-633-9174. Now, we've had a caller on the line for a couple of minutes, and I just want to check, Dr. Chuck, to see if they're listening or if they have a question. So could you kind of explain the process that you did with me last week, how you brought me under, and sort of explain some of my answers and how you were trying to guide me through?
All right. The basic principle is basically hypnosis. And for those that think they know what hypnosis is but have never been hypnotized, you really don't. And hypnosis isn't where you're in some la-la land and you have no idea what's going on around you. Hypnosis is a heightened sense of awareness. And what I do is get into your subconscious mind, into your neocortex, where I can then sit there and your subconscious basically the conscious mind processes about 16 bits of information a second. The subconscious mind processes about 16 million bits of information a second. It can handle things so much deeper, so much more controlled than your conscious mind ever can. And your conscious mind is a filter. It protects you. It blocks out things that it thinks you don't need to know. And so once I get into your subconscious, now I've got your whole brain open, and I can sit there and see what's in there. I'm not going to be able to sit there and necessarily rewire your brain, but in a lot of cases, basically, you're using neuro-linguistic programming. I can replace memories. If you have a traumatic event that just really bothers you, I can replace it by sitting there, getting in there, and taking out the old memory that is too hard for you to deal with and put in a new memory that might be a whole lot more pleasant. Matter of fact, this afternoon I had a patient in my chair who was a smoking patient, and I started working with her a while back, and she's doing pretty good until the other girls at work go out for a smoke break, and she gets out there, and now suddenly she sees the smoke, she smells the smoke, and the smell would set her off, and then she'd want a cigarette. So what I did was took that memory, that picture of the smoke billowing in the air, that smell of the smoke that would trigger her desire, and her favorite smell is lavender. So I replaced that picture of the smoke. Anytime she sees smoke now, she sees the plant's lavender, the lavender bush that she has in her yard. Anytime she smells cigarette smoke, she now smells the smell of lavender. And it took a little while, but it worked pretty well. We then fired up a cigarette, and I let the smoke kind of drift into the room and asked what she smelled, and she told me lavender. Now, for the most part, this is good, but I also told her that if she's sitting around the house and she suddenly smells lavender, check the smoke detector, because this could end up being the place may be on fire, and she's sitting there with a smile on her face going, hey, this is cool, the house smells like lavender, you know. So to every blessing, there's always a downside. But what we did last week was I took Christina, got her into a trance state of hypnosis, where then I was able to sit there and take her back to lives that she's had in the past. Now, this is radio, so the whole world kind of gets to hear what her previous lives were like. So we really just scratched the surface because I didn't want to get into something. I mean, everybody in every life has dirty laundry, and I didn't want to bring something out that was going to embarrass her. So we didn't get into anything very deep. But it was more of a demonstration of the process of how we go from life to life. When we get into a life and we want to explore that life, we can then stretch it out and take it year by year. We can go to a different point in her time at that life when she's 18 years old, 25 years old, and see how that particular life grew and progressed. The downside is when you're going in the past lives, a lot of our current lives are dictated by things that were from a past life. Maybe, for example, you can't stand wearing turtleneck shirts. Maybe you can't stand wearing a necktie. Maybe you can't stand wearing neck jewelry because you don't want anything tight around your neck. And then what happens is I take you into a past life and find out that maybe in 1792 you were declared a witch and they hung you or something to that effect. And from that trauma of your past life, you now have a current life that has a phobia or has a reaction, and you can't stand anything tight around your necks. And you, when people ask you, well, why don't you wear a turtleneck? Oh, I don't know why, but I just hate them. And you don't even understand yourself on the surface as to what's going on and why. But by taking you into a past life and finding out you were hung, and then I can sit there and replace that memory with a more pleasant memory, and you won't be afraid to wear a necklace or neck jewelry or to wear a turtleneck sweater that's tight around your neck. Things won't freak you out. So there's a lot of different phobias that people have that are really from a past life and we carry over. So it's kind of important to be able to know what we're looking for. So this is one of the reasons why we didn't want you guys experimenting on your own. You could get into a past life. You suddenly sit there and realize that that you were being beaten by a gang, and we bring up a trauma, you bring up your own traumatic event, and you've got no escape route, no way to soften that message, nobody to get you out of that room where you're feeling the fear and the anxiety of being beaten to death, and now it's out of your control. So this is why I so strongly urge you that at best have somebody with you that knows how to get you out and can sit there and terminate the session if you get into some place that you really don't need to be. So there's a lot of dangers in going into past lives because it brings up events that may not be pleasant. And on the surface, there's no way you're going to remember what happened in 1792. But when I get into your subconscious and I start reprogramming your neocortex, it's open season.
So what Dr. Chuck did when he took me under, and we spoke afterwards, I wanted to make sure I was actually under in a trance because I was also aware of you know, the bed, the computer, that I was wearing a headset, that he was having trouble hearing me, and I was aware of all of that. But I'm also a lucid dreamer, so I can have two streams of consciousness going at once. And but it was very real. And the last life was the one I wanted to see. And apparently I died in Vietnam in 1964. There were a couple of key elements of what I said there that my father, who's a Vietnam veteran, was confirming for me afterwards. He and my mother were listening, Dr. Chuck, and they were predicting my answers. And that was really cool because Dr. Chuck asked me, I was being fired on, and he said, how many people are there? And before I answered, my father said seven, and I said, there's seven of us left. And then Dr. Chuck asked, can you radio for help? And my father said, the comm is dead. And I said, the comm guy's dead. And my mother was like, it was eerie, Chris. But my father was the one who always said when I was born that they got me fresh out of the war. Not because I had anxiety, believe me. I was as far from anxious about death as you can get as a child. Just jumping off the roof, testing different ways to fly when I was three. So that was not the problem. I was not hyper. Everyone adored me. I was a sweet little Buddha kid that, you know, was just happy and relaxed and laid back. My mother said just a perfect child in every way. So it wasn't that. It was just something about me that my father recognized in me and had always theorized. So that was the one that I was really curious about. And there were a couple of things that I said during the course of what I talked about that didn't make sense to me because I'm an historian, but I don't know much about the Vietnam War. I'm sort of 18th and 19th century America. And I didn't understand how I could be so shocked that we were being fired on by the VC. Why are they shooting at us? We've got to get back and let them know they're shooting at us. And now in my conscious mind, I'm like, well, that's stupid. Why am I shocked? And then speaking to Dr. Chuck afterwards, the history of it is the time, the year, the time of year, everything I described was before we were considered combatants there. So that made sense. When I talked about the fact that they were in the trees, they had climbed the trees, my father confirmed that, yes, that's exactly how they'd get the jump on you. And that's not in any movie I've ever seen. So there were a couple of things that I said that made a lot of sense that I probably wouldn't have known on my own, picked up from culture, especially the tree part. That's something you have to have been there to know all the tactics. And a lot of the people they did that to never lived to talk about it. And
that's absolutely true, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but the thing that struck me most, that solved the most problems for me in this life was the fact that I was in a hallway, Dr. Chuck said there are doors, and each door represents a life, and he asked me how many doors are there. I could not see the end of the hallway. It was like putting two mirrors facing each other, and you just see infinity of doors. That's all I saw. It went on and on and on and on and on, and it didn't get dark. My eyes just simply could not register an end. And that actually, I was praying about it. I got some answers about that, and I now understand why I get so conflicted about my mission here, which I'm aware of and I know, and how what's happened to me in this life can sometimes hold me back from that. But also the series of attacks I undergo from evil to stop me suddenly made a lot more sense too. So that really, just that.
You're
that
definitely an old soul, as they say, aren't you?
Oh, my dear God. My father's telling my dad, he's like, I think you were in an amoeba at some point before the lightning struck. But I mean, I do. I have memories of like a different Earth. So it's very funny when you think about it.
So tell us all what it's like to ride on the back of a dinosaur.
Well, we didn't live at the same time. sorry, creationists, didn't happen. But you know what? I want to continue this conversation, but we do have a caller, so I don't want to make her wait very long. Let me bring her on real quick, and then we'll continue. This is Keisha. And Keisha is calling to see if I could come up with anything about past lives for you. Is that correct, Keisha?
Yes, whatever you come up with would be fine with me.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Keisha, as soon as I put you on hold, I picked up something about your brother. Do you have some concerns about your brother in any way?
No, he's just... pretty much a jerk, but that's what most men are. So I mean, other than that, I don't really know.
I'll just go wait
what issues I might have around him, huh?
I'll just go wait outside for a while, okay?
I don't get along. I mean, I can, but if you're gonna be a complete one, I can't do it. Somebody gotta go. It's either me or you. So
yeah, I gotcha. I hear you.
Other than that, it's just typical, I guess, brother-sister stuff. I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, I think the reason that he popped into my head, because he popped in, and I wanted to check with you to make sure, because I'm also a medium, it wasn't because he had passed, but that tension between you and your brother, I have a very strong feeling that he was your father in a past life. And he was very authoritarian, and that now he's still just bossy and nasty to you. And part of the reason is that he's supposed to be subject to you in this life. I mean, you're the one who's living right, doing things right, who's the example.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be looking to you this time, because last time you were still the good one. And he's just not getting it. I feel like as far as soul contracts go, you two have one. And every time you both pass and talk to each other, he's like, shit, I cannot learn how to treat women. I can't learn how to treat people that I love. And so I think that's a lot of the conflict between you two. I mean, he hit me hard. I'm getting a very strong New England vibe. First of all, I got the number, the number's 5 or 6. I think you've been here about 5 or 6 times, because we don't all keep coming back, but you've been here 5 or 6 times. You are a lady who takes on a lot of responsibility, a very strong matriarch, and you always have been. I see you kind of in New England. I see you as a woman. You're in charge of children. It seems like you've always got a big passel of children. You had like 12 kids, like this big farm family, and you were just this lovely, vibrant woman. I mean, just this, everyone adored you. And I think that's still the case. I mean, you just radiate goodness and kindness and warmth. So just so you know that, don't let anybody get, you can be strong and nice. It's,
yeah.
it does happen.
Sometimes.
But I don't know if you're a religious, I don't know if you're a religious woman, but I've also got a very strong sense of a missionary. You're a missionary,
yeah.
You're a man. In a foreign country, it's very warm, it's very hot, and I've got you at the front of a pulpit, Africa, it's in Africa, I've got you at the front of a pulpit, and you are hopping and a screaming, and everybody's just clapping and happy. You've got an evangelist in you, that's one of them. Are you afraid of water?
No. Not that I know of. Cold water, I don't mess with, but it has to be warm. It has to be.
Yeah,
no, I like water. Oh, I know what you're saying, though, like, because I've kind of had to overcome my fear of drowning, if that's what you're saying. So I would force myself, you know, if all my people were getting into the deep end, I would go, okay, you could swim, you could do that, and I'd be praying the whole time in 12 feet of water, praying like I'm going to drown. But
I
never really
either.
Got over it. Yeah, I never really
you're
got over it, but I still
your
did
head
it.
Dunk. Yep, you don't like your head underwater. In that New England life, I think you were accused of being a witch, and you were dunked. They've got your arms held behind you, and your head is going into that water, almost like waterboarding, 17th century style. And they're just dunking you until you drown. Because the theory was, it's just this huge water thing, and almost like when you were a kid, showers getting the water in your hair and in your face just bugged you out big time. Just
it still does. I can do it on my body, but I can't do it on my face and in my hair. It gets on my nerves. You're right.
Yep.
No, I still don't do that. Yeah. Okay.
And
that makes a lot of sense.
What's funny is that the missionary life happened before that one. See, you were this very just fire and brimstone angry preacher. And then in the next life, you were drowned by angry fire and brimstone preachers. It was like that turnaround.
The story of my life. There you go.
Karma.
You have
it's
no
like
idea
terrible.
How much that makes sense.
But I got to tell you, I got those two big time. I'm not getting anything else, but that does explain your water and your evangelizing, and your brother is a big one. And you... He's going to, this is the psychic coming out, he's going to start making overtures for like a healing of the breach. I know he's burned you hundreds of times, just burned you. I'm getting like money, I'm getting friends, I'm getting backstabbing. But when he opens that bridge, cautiously from a distance, accept it. But no loans, nothing like that. But when he calls, you know, talk a little bit, hang up, only because that's what he's carrying in this life. And he does just need a little bit of a chance. But you know what? You can love someone and not like them. You can be good to someone.
I know. I'm learning. Yes, that's a very big lesson that I'm learning right now. Yes.
Oh, shit,
isn't it? Let them go.
Exactly. So you need to do that and not get hurt. But, you know, it's just, I don't know what to tell you. It's kind of like a keep them at a distance with your hands out, but keep your hands loving. Don't punch them. You know, it's just if you can imagine holding them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because before I let you go, I get that this is your biggest lesson. There's a difference between being assertive and being aggressive. You're always afraid that you're being aggressive when you stand up for yourself. But the difference is an aggressive person walks over to someone and pushes them to a ground. An assertive person stands still, and when someone rushes them, they hit them and fall to the ground. The assertive person says, if you're going to come at me and you fall, that's not my fault. So I think that you're trying really hard to learn that lesson. That lesson of loving and letting go, that lesson of standing my damn ground and let all you fools fall around me.
Yeah, that's something that's definitely something I'm working on. And I just started on that one. So I'm like, I have another year maybe before I learn it completely.
I could tell you a year, but I've spent 40 of them. I still haven't figured out when to do that. I think it's just, you know, like we say, we're practicing Christians because we never get it right. It's something keep doing. Like, forgiveness isn't a one-time event, just like marriage isn't a one-time event. It's got to keep happening.
Keep on working at it.
Yeah. You know what? Before I let you go, in my old Catholic radio, in this network, if you go to the archive, there are a couple of special episodes I did because through religion as a preacher about forgiveness and letting go. I think that they might help you if you grab a couple and just listen to like a half hour. Not a plug.
What's the name of that? It's under this, underneath your name, underneath your show name, or underneath
under the
Catholic
If you click the show name, if you're on the computer, you click the name. I think it says My Old Catholic Radio up top there. If you click that, you'll see our archives, and you can look at the names of the shows. There are a couple named Letting Go, How to Forgive. Those two shows especially, I think, would really help you, because it's not just, you've got to forgive, you've got to forgive, you've got to forgive. It's, here's how you forgive, and especially forgive but never forget. That's the other one. Yeah. Keisha, thank you for calling. I love you. You have such good energy.
You do, too.
I love talking to you. Call back and let me know how you're doing, okay?
I definitely will. You have a blessed night.
You too, hon. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, we have a couple other callers, but I love helping people like that. What a sweetheart. I like her. I want to be
her nice.
Friend.
I don't. She doesn't like men.
You know what? You just you get burned by so many people. You just kind of roll your eyes and take a breather, I think.
But I'm not a stalker. I never go where I'm not wanted.
Well, you're here. So, no, I'm kidding. I love Dr. Chuck.
Wait a second. Time of death, 7:29 p.m.
No, Dr. Chuck is really one of my dearest friends. He's just an awesome person. And if you're just new to
us... Well, now I got to pay you.
Yeah, you owe me. But we're talking about the hypnosis and past lives. We have a few callers that we'll get to in just a sec, so just hang tight, callers. But Dr. Chuck, I just want to know, and I think it's important for people listening, have you ever dealt with a patient under hypnosis who hit just a horrible trauma and that you had to talk down afterwards, maybe a couple times?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Sometimes you, and this is why I said it's a real slippery slope because, yeah, it sounds like a whole lot of fun. Let's go look at my past life, and maybe I was a king, maybe I was a queen, and then you get into it and find out, yeah, you were a king. You were the one that they beheaded, and now it's not as much fun anymore. And so, yeah, I've had patients that we go back and find things, but usually they freak out pretty good right there, and that's why I work at then removing those memories then, so by the time they're back into the current reality, the reality they bring with them then is peaceful. You don't want to sit there and stir the hornet's nest and then say, well, now I use the yo-yo system. It stands for you're on your own. That's just not fair. You know, my goal is to help people, not to get them all upset and then say, well, yeah, you know, if you come back in 2 weeks, we can do a follow-up session. That's going to be 2 weeks from hell. So you want to be able to sit there and get them in a state of mind where they leave your office saying, hey, this was good. I'm glad I spent time in your chair. You don't want them sitting there going out of there either so pissed off they want to mow down the first pedestrian they see, or they don't want to sit there and park their car on the railroad tracks and wait for the next train. You want them to leave in a more happier state than they came to your chair.
Awesome. And I would imagine going back, when we went back to my own life, we were right at the point before I was dead. I was down, I'd been shot, and my father called, and we were talking extensively because my dad almost died in 2005. He's writing on his near-death experience for me. But we were chatting, and he said, what was your last memory? Because you stopped there. And I said, I pulled the pin, and I was holding the clip to the grenade against my chest, and I was thinking that I'd heard the rumors in Saigon about what they did to prisoners. And my men were right near me, and as they came and I saw them bend over me, I let go of the grenade. And it was like, whoa, yeah, all of them with me. Because that's just the way I roll. We've got a caller in 601 area code, and what I'm going to do right now is just take a quick break, play a commercial. This person's been waiting quite a while. I'm just all the calls, ask you your name, find out if you wanted to come on air. And then when the song is over, we can start taking some more calls. So if you have to run to the restroom, I'm going to give you about a 3-minute break with this song, okay? So get what you need. Yeah, pee fast. Get a drink, get your popcorn, but remember to come back. I'm just looking for my favorite so that you'll all have fun too. Here we go. We'll be right back, folks.
Go down, oh, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
Okay, we're back, Dr. Chuck, and we actually we have three callers, so we have enough time to get to everybody and just make sure that they get their questions answered. So let me grab the first one. We have, right now, we have Tara on the line. Tara, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, sure thing. Now, you had a question you wanted to know about your past lives?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had that done before? I feel like you kind of already know one of them really, really well. Have you had it done, or do you have really strong memories of one?
I think that, yeah, somebody had, not really, I don't really remember, but I think I have had touched on a past life reading with someone
okay.
before.
I do feel like you know a little bit already. There's something about playing a piano. It's very, very strong. I don't know if it's this life with the music or the past one, but there was a very strong musical connection in your past one.
I love music in this life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you play anything now? Because I got you on the piano. I got you on violin. And that's what I
No, did. Don't play anything.
Yeah, I think you did. It's almost like, I bet if you sat down, your memory is there. I mean, it's right at the surface. If you went to a piano teacher and had one lesson, they would be absolutely blown away. They would not believe you hadn't had any before.
I would love to know that.
Yeah, you know what? I think it would help you. I feel like you have a lot of stress in this life, and I feel like health issues, music, bringing that life into this one would actually help you make a connection, because I see that in 19th century, you're a woman, you're in a huge billowy yellow dress, and your music is almost like secret. I mean, you have one of those sort of Sinclair Lewis mundane lives where husband works, he comes home, you each have your own bedroom and everything, but music is what keeps you connected to yourself. And
yeah.
I think if you brought it into this life, it would really, really help you. Do you have pain, like fibromyalgia or some kind of back problem? I get, if you don't have it in this life, sometimes I've noticed that when someone has a death injury in a past life, it shows up as an injury in this life too, almost like a weakness. 'Cause I feel like you were like crushed. Something fell on top of you and just crushed you flat. And it hit your head and your upper back.
Back problems.
Are you claustrophobic? Because this feels like a mining incident.
No.
It feels like a cave-in. Maybe you don't have any repercussions, because I didn't. But I've got a coal miner, and yeah. Does that make any sense? Is there a carryover in this life?
No, it doesn't.
It's a cave-in. Hold on a second.
Okay.
No, I am positive. But sometimes I have to stop. Sometimes I have to stop and make sure and, like, feel it out. Am I getting someone else? And no, I'm positive. There was a cave-in. And we're looking at, like, 1913. And that arena, West Virginia, you were a man, died in a coal mining incident. Do you have a daughter?
No kids. I'm 28.
I my head just snapped up. I'm almost like, are you sure? Are you married? Are you trying?
No, there is someone I'm interested in, though. I just met them and had that connection. Are they past life, too? Because I feel it is.
You've got, oh, my God, just a daughter hovering around you. and I don't mean to scare you, but I'm at 100% with pregnancies. 100%. I'm never wrong about that. And there is like a, she's almost like sitting on your neck waiting to be born.
Oh, wow.
And this soul, it's a very old soul. She has been with you many, many times. I mean, as your mother, you always learn from her. And my God, what a beautiful little girl. And I'm hearing the name Martha. I don't know if that has any relation to you. It might be a past life thing, but Martha.
Martha?
Martha is the name I'm saying. Name your daughter Martha, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
That's the name that she's giving me, because this soul is just fully formed and just waiting for her chance to come into your life. And it's just going to be one of those, such a special relationship between the two of you. And she has been by your side in every life.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever feel a strong connection to like almost like my daughter, almost like you feel that she's almost there and you can't explain it, this close connection to a daughter figure. It's so strong. Sorry, it's just so overwhelming. And this little girl is just hopping. That's weird. That's never happened where there's just this fully
that
formed
soul. That is weird.
Soul. Get pregnant, Tara. I want to come. That's just a
okay.
So please don't, you know, find someone good. I'm not trying to push you.
Well, I have to say.
Do you have an injury or a bad back or hip?
No, not at this time. I hope not. Ever.
Do you have someone in your life who does? This is very strong.
My father does.
Okay.
Yeah, he's real bad.
Yeah, does he need to, has he seen the doctor for that?
Yes, he has to see a doctor all the time for it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I just got a sudden worry about it, only because plating surgery, because I'm just kind of getting this, don't have the next surgery, don't have it.
Yeah, he's thought about it, yeah.
Don't have it. It's just so strong. Please tell him not to have that surgery. It will just destroy him. Sorry. I must be connecting to him. That happens sometimes. Because past and future mean nothing on the other side. So sometimes I'll talk to someone and then connect to a relative or a deceased, someone who's deceased.
Can I ask you about a specific person, too, that I've came across and I feel drawn to them?
Yes, absolutely.
And see if it's a past life? Okay.
Sure.
Can you
give me just a first name? Just a first name. No relationship.
Yeah, I met this person through work, and their name is Karen.
Okay.
And what is the connection there?
You guys were sisters. You've been sisters many times. When you met her, did you
have
this?
It was an instant recognition.
Yeah, it was almost like this soft, warm
trust.
We
didn't speak of it. Like, I just met them, but
she has the same feeling. If you talk to her, she's going to feel the same way. There's just
It was a couple of weeks ago. Well, I've talked to him. It was a couple of weeks ago because we kind of work in the same setting, but they're in a different building, but we're all fixing to move into the same building, so I'll get to have more interaction with this person. Mm-hmm. But when I talked to him that first time, you know, we were in the same room, and it's just that instant recognition with her.
That life when you were a musician, I think, is when you two were sisters. And she liked to sew. So when you talk to Karen, I think that carried over into this life. And you might talk to her if it's knitting or it's something, but it's working with sewing. I think she still does that. It might be an interesting confirmation for you if you talk to just kind of bring up hobbies and see what she says.
Okay, I definitely will. So it was
that'll just be confirmation for you that, yeah, that was the connection.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting. That musical life is coming up, and I think it's very important for you to do now because that was your carryover, and that little girl is waiting for you, and she's very happy that she gets to be your daughter this time.
Awesome.
She's very excited.
I can't...
You're going to have a wonderful life with her.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Well, Tara, if you do talk to Karen, call back because I'd be very interested in what happened.
I definitely will. And thank you so much for your reading.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
For reading me.
Sure. And everyone listening, click the follow button on our thing and you'll get alerts for new shows. And when we have another call-in show, you can call back anytime.
I will.
Okay. Take care, Tara. God bless.
Oh, well, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Sure. Okay, we have two more, Dr. Chuck. Hang on. And the third one's for you. So they have a question
okay.
for you. I'm sorry you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. Hold on.
Yes, I'm having a really great time.
Hold on. Hi, Natasha.
Hi, yes. I'm here.
Hi, this is Christina. So you want to know about, you had a question?
Yes, Christina. I wanted to see if you can pick up, if you can tell me if you get marriage and future children for me for this lifetime. What do you pick up with that?
Yeah, I got a son. There is a son waiting for you. Very, very strong connection there. You're seeing someone already, are you?
No, there's no one. I was going to ask you, do you know when someone comes in and anything you pick up about him?
Do you have a male friend in your life that you're very close to?
No, there's no one right now.
There's no one?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. There might be, is there someone passed on who makes... send someone, a man you were very close to?
If there is someone passed on, I don't know about them. Like, I don't know anyone that I was in a relationship with who has passed over.
I'm sorry. I don't know where this person is coming from. All right, let's put that aside. I've got the, your father's not passed. There was no guy that you were very close to.
My father is passed. My father
okay.
is passed.
Okay.
I thought you meant a romantic relationship.
Yeah, I apologize. I should have been more specific. Sometimes it's hard for me to find the right words. But yeah, your father's passed on. That's who I was picking up on. And there was a very, very close relationship between the two of you, just a very profound love. And he passed, I see him having trouble breathing. Does that make sense? Did he have, at the end, a breathing problem?
You know what? I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because I wasn't around. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That must be who I was picking up on because he is still so much around you. In fact, right now I kind of see him with your son, your soon-to-be son. I'm getting 4 or 5 years, and that's not a happy answer, but it's not 4 or 5 years of loneliness. There's someone who's already got his eye on you. I don't know if it's through work, but it's just someone who's kind of interested in striking up a conversation. I have a feeling that it's not that nobody's approaching you. I feel like you're very shy, almost withdrawn, just when people talk to you, you just get a little nervous and you have a hard time being confident when people strike up conversations. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Mhm.
So you don't think
I will meet anyone for 5 years?
No. You're gonna meet someone. I was thinking in terms of marriage. I'm looking at 5 years later for marriage, but I do see just wonderful relationship. And it's not like passionate. It's not like those quick, you know, we're in love, everything falls apart, you're apart again, we're in love. Not like that. This person is your soulmate. This, I see like, you know, the two of you out by this small pond, this little lake with like a little boat. It's just like this little lake with a little dock. It's got this little rowboat. And there's just this perfect comfort in friendship. And it's just kind of making me think of my marriage, where the two of you are just best friends.
And that's great.
Just this, not this blazing fire, and those never last anyway, just like the hearth fire where the fireplace is going and everything's warm. I just got Ed, the name Ed.
Okay. Do you see him at all? Do you see him at all, what he looks like?
Yeah. He's older than you. By about 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's tall, African American. He's slightly balding in the front, just like a receding hairline. There's a little bit of gray in the back. It's almost like the receding hairline and then the little bald spot in the back, the typical male baldness. He likes to wear t-shirt, jeans, loafers, and a shirt, like a blue shirt with a collar that he leaves open. Just sort of this very casual but nice dress. He's thin, tall, very big, strong hands, but I get a feeling like he's does some kind of artistry. And I keep getting like fishing. This guy's thing is fishing. That's why there's a boat. That's why there's a lake. And he actually makes his own little flies. I don't know why I can see him so clearly. That doesn't happen often. He makes these little, like, bait, the little bait things, little hook things. What the hell do you call those? The flies, like fly fishing. Wears an old, beat-up, tan baseball cap. Just a very, very nice, kind man. And I feel like he is very easygoing, so he is the one person who will draw you out. You don't think very highly of yourself right now. And before he can come into your life, you need to believe that you deserve to be loved, that you deserve a relationship like that. And I just want you to hear that nobody's ever loved you right. They haven't.
Right.
And you did not deserve anything that happened to you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You deserved to be loved like the princess that you are, because you have a heart of gold. You are such a kind woman. You're such a giving woman. But right now, you don't love yourself. And you don't believe that anyone can ever love you. And if you work on that and start to believe that someone that wonderful can love you, then it's going to happen.
Okay.
I want to give you my email because I just want to keep in touch with you and sort of maybe help you. As you work on this, because you're a very sweet person, and I think that if we talk things through and maybe I have different talks on things, maybe I can help.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can message me on this. My email is my name, Christina Rake. So it's with a K, KristinaRake at gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Just
okay.
Email me, and we could talk, but I wanna help you because this guy's just wonderful, and you deserve this. You really deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure, Natasha. Have a wonderful night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I know this last person, Dr. Chuck. This is my friend, Dawn Weber. She called to talk to you about the soul contracts. Hey, Dawn, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're good.
I want to know who my dream man is, too.
Dawn, it doesn't work like that.
I don't know. I know you well, so everything I said would be wishful thinking, I think. You know, because I want it to happen.
Well, if it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, so, Dr. Chuck, I wanted to ask you about my question. Have you thought about it? Do you remember my question?
At the moment, I remember we chatted online, and right now I'm drawing a blank, and I don't remember why I'm drawing a blank other than I have these bouts of fog ever since the whole incident a month ago. But so refresh me of your question, because I remember after we talked online, I gave it a lot of thought over a bottle of wine.
Oh,
and,
no.
Because wait, Dawn, it's not that bad.
My question was about, you know, like,
I believe
a lot in soul groups and soul contracts and the things that you agree to before you live your life. And I lost my daughter.
I know that. And I got to tell you again. I have never seen what you went through had to be the most horrific thing on earth, but your poise and your grace and everything you've done to have to relive it through that trial had to just be unbelievable. But my heart goes out to you, but I have so much respect for the way you've handled the last couple of years. It is just, you're an inspiration to a lot of people.
Oh, thank you. Christina knows I flip, though. I do flip.
But, you know, you gotta. You know, that's human nature. You're going to sit there and have meltdowns, but you're the soul that doesn't live there. You don't unpack all your bags. You get it out of your system, and you move on. And that's what so many people have a hard time doing.
Well, and I believe that my daughter's still around me. And
I believe it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and what
no,
a beautiful
what I wanted,
young lady she was, yeah.
What I wanted to know is, like, when you do the past life regressions, I know that you can't know everything that your soul agreed to because then it would change the agreement. But if part of what you've agreed to has already happened, can you regress to when you made that agreement? Because
I remember your question now, and I've thought about it, and I don't know if I've mentioned before, but there's three spirits that I live with. One is little Chris from Naperville who came down here with me. Then there's Stella, the hooker that was shot to death in the building I live in. And then there's little Andrew from the deli. And so I have this 7- and 8-year-old and a 22-year-old spirits here, who I talk to all the time, and they give me a lot of insight into what the other side of the spectrum is.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them, can they go back to when they made the contract? They know what I'm talking about, a contract, because when they get ready to come back, they get down together with their soul group and get the plan for their next life. But then, bam, once they're in the womb, and according to the, Christina, if I'm right, according to the Vatican, the soul attaches at the time of conception.
Yes.
And but what the Vatican can't agree on is what happens when they're twins. But anyway, we won't go down that road right now. But the point is, once the soul, and it has its soul group, and it has its meeting of the minds, and it decides this is how the life is going to be, and once it hits that zygote, which is a four-cell organism right after conception, mm-hmm. when it hits the zygote, it no longer, it loses all memory of the soul meeting.
But I always had, you know, I also believe in exit points. And mm-hmm. I believe that we're given, you know, different exit points in our life. And Lexi was a preemie. And, you know, it's like I laid there and I was like, please, God, I promise I'll be a good mom, you know. And
sure.
And, you know, I got to have her. And,
yeah.
you know, it's like I always felt like I was going to, at some point, I felt like I wasn't going to have her around for as long as most parents do. I always felt that. The same as I really, really felt I had something happen when Lexi died. That, I mean, all I can say is basically I knew. And, you know, it's just, I also feel like at one point in my past lives that she was my mom.
And that's very possible. When you say you had something happen, do you mean you were out and about or at home doing whatever, at the minute she had the accident, you knew something was wrong?
I knew that she died. I felt like I was having a heart attack.
And you weren't there with her. You officially didn't know what happened. All you knew internally was that she died.
I knew something was wrong. And
all right, but I mean, you didn't get a phone call or anything like that. You had no conscious knowledge of what was going on, but internally in your subconscious, you knew something was wrong.
Yes, I panicked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I texted her. Oh my God, over and over and over again. And when her dad did call me, I knew why he was calling me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even have to tell me. I told him.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like there was a connection there. And, you know, I think that when I felt like I was having a heart attack, that, you know, I think that there is an invisible umbilical cord with parents and their kids. I don't know if men feel the same way, but women, and, you know, I don't know. I try to figure out why in the world would you ever agree to that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured that it must be that I am supposed to learn something from it, but so far I haven't figured it out.
Yeah, and you may not. And you may not sort it out. And are you talking about your soul agreement or her soul agreement?
Well, both
of ours.
Are
you talking your soul agreement that you knew before you were born that you were going to lose a child when she was, what was she, 21, 22?
Yeah.
And did you agree to that before you were born?
Well, I think that maybe I did. I don't
okay.
know why I
well,
would.
But here's going under the guidelines that of soul agreements, we keep coming back to learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, you came back and part of that lesson was the pain of losing a child. And it's very possible what you end up learning from that,
mm-hmm.
you won't even know until after you're dead and then you reconnect with your soul group and they sit down and there's what's called a judgment where they then sit there and say, okay, what did you learn from it? And then did it meet the guidelines of what you were supposed to learn before you were ever born? So it's very, very likely, you know, you could live to be 100 and still not, all you're going to know is the pain that you suffered, and you're not going to know the lesson until after you're gone.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
I have.
And that's not helpful because, yeah, you want to know. You want to know, why would I agree to go through that much pain? And who knows what the – but here's part of the other thing. There's also we come back to learn a lesson.
Right.
And maybe that lesson has nothing to do with Lexi. Lexi was a product – Lexi's accident was a product of free choice. Not your free choice, not her free choice, but the driver that had the seizures, her free choice because she chose to drive having a seizure condition.
Right.
And you guys are truly, both of you and everybody that knew this amazing young lady, they are all victims of the free choice of that woman.
So you think
And it had nothing to do with your lesson.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. But I still think
okay.
that Lex was my mom.
Yeah, I think so too. Just from the way you describe your relationship.
After she passed, I had the most vivid dream, and it was probably only, well, I think it was a visit, but, you know, it's like she took me to this white room, and the room seemed familiar to me. And, you know, it's like everybody that was there was busy and they were learning, but I couldn't see the other people. I could only see her and Tim. I couldn't see the other people. It was almost like in a movie where they are a TV show where they like smudge their faces so you can't see them.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, I wonder if this is where they make the soul agreements. And I thought that
maybe
while I was there. But every time that she would visit me at the beginning, she was very busy, and she always had a notebook. Always. But,
that makes,
you know,
that's
interesting. I was just curious if you could go back that far. You know,
I don't believe so, because part of the thing is until any child is about 3 or 4, they really don't have cerebral memory because everything is out of the cerebellum. So even forgetting going back to the soul contract,
mm-hmm.
just to take a child back to, say, when they were 1 year old or 6 months old,
right?
That isn't in the cellular memory that then gets part of the microtubules that gets passed on in the energy when we die. So you can take them back to when they were 6 months old,
mm-hmm.
they had no language skills at that time, so they can't explain what was going on.
So
okay.
let me jump in here, because Dawn's asking, since we can remember our past lives in hypnosis, can we remember the space between them? If I
yeah,
go
and
back
that's what...
to that 1964, can we, as a soul, remember that through hypnosis, or are you saying it's like a body connection sort of short circuits that?
Yeah, you need to be able to connect with the body, and during that time in between lives, there is no body, so there's no
gotcha.
Body to then be able to attach to and say, I'm going to take you that back to that time. We can only go back to probably about roughly 3 years old when they have some language skills. Then everything from 3 to conception, they may be able to remember some things, but they had no language skills, so they can't relate to it. And then to get back into in-between lives, there's just no body to connect with.
That makes
right,
sense.
So,
I wish I was – if I was
yeah.
still up in Chicago, Dawn, we'd sit down and we'd do some hypnosis and see how far we can go with this.
Well, maybe sometime Christina and I can come visit.
Yeah, we like to travel together. But, that makes sense. That's what I was wondering. But if hypnosis works on the mind, then the memory has to be imprinted there somewhere. But the question
yeah.
about, since the memory is not from this body, is it
mm-hmm.
possible that hypnosis is connecting to the soul who would remember that in between time. So I guess
I've never seen that happen. And to be honest with you, I love the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to work on that with a couple of patients I've got to see if I can sit there and do that. In 2 weeks from today, I moved to Dallas. I've already got some patients lined up down in Dallas-Fort Worth,
mm-hmm.
and they want to do past life regression. So when I get them under hypnosis, I'm going to take them down and see if I can get in between. Once I have that answer, I'll get back to you and see where we can go with this.
All right. Yeah, because I'm real curious about that. I mean, I do realize that if you could know everything that you agreed, that it would, you know, it would kind of make your life less than a moot point.
Yeah.
And I agree. And that's why from everything I've talked to, the spirits I've talked to, the people I've talked to, the stuff I've researched, the whole point of, boom, once conception occurs and the soul attaches to that zygote, the memory of the soul agreement is gone because they don't want to cloud your free choice. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right, but then
yeah.
what do you think the thing about, Christina knows that I'm not as bad now as I used to be, but I was a complete freak about driving. I always mm-hmm. had this whippy thing about, you know, car accidents and stuff like that. And it, the same as I knew that I wasn't going to have Lexi, I always worried about that. And, I mean, I had to work hard to make it not be an obsession. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I wondered if your soul agreements could kind of spill over, you know, that you kind of...
Yeah, I get what you're saying, that it's not supposed to leak into your current mind so it doesn't cloud who you become, but that's only and not supposed to. That doesn't mean it can't happen. So in your case, maybe it did. Or was there something else that created the fear? But obviously, you know, if everything in our soul agreement was as planned, you would never look both ways before crossing a street. Because if it's in the agreement, you're going to get hit regardless. And if it's not in the agreement, no car is going to hit you.
Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah.
So there has to be a free choice in there, too. And there has to. But obviously something tainted your perception of driving. And then that where fear came true. And
but the weird
so
thing is it's not as bad now.
Well, because it came to pass. The accident
yeah.
that you had in your mind happened, so now you're not as worried
well,
about
it. Yeah, your worst fears came to life, and it can't get any worse from here, can it?
Right. And, you know, it's like at one point Lexi had the typical, you know, teenage, you know, minor accident. And honestly, as I was talking to her on the phone and she was telling me that she got in an accident, I was like, thank God that
yeah, because that was the one.
She had it done
yeah.
now. Isn't
yeah,
that weird?
Yeah, there wasn't going to be another, yeah.
Yeah.
But, Christina, I have to ask you something. When you were talking about the Vietnam thing,
yeah.
Do you think that you were with your dad?
You know, I don't know. He and I, because he wanted to know if I was a Navy SEAL at the time. And I said, no, I feel like I was a Marine. But also, Dad, at that point, wasn't quite old enough to be in the military. In 1964,
oh, okay.
he would have been 16.
Okay. I was listening to you, I was wondering.
He was, too. But if I was right about that year, then no. If I was wrong about the year, because the years were off. Then perhaps, you know, he knew, and that was the weird thing. He knew before I said it. So it's quite possible that we did know each other because he knew the whole story. So that would be something neat to explore at another time.
Yeah, that is kind of strange. But anyway, well, thank you for answering my questions. And, Christina, you're in Missouri now, right, Dr. Chuck?
Hey.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in Branson, Missouri.
Well, that
would have
been a lot
weeks.
Easier to come visit, but maybe Christina and I can do a trip.
Yeah. Well, we could do Dallas. I like Dallas. It's a really cool city.
And it's a really drive.
Dawn and I have a driving thing. She won't let me drive because I'm on medication. So.
No, but there.
Yeah. Hey, Dawn, that's good thinking.
Well, you know, I don't want her to fly. I'm riding with her.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin is I don't know if you guys heard about this, but halfway between Chicago and Dallas, there's hotels.
There's also casinos.
Casinos. Dawn, I love them.
No, but Christina and I
that's
have
a riot.
The last time we drove to Kentucky, I wanted to take the scenic route, and it didn't work out as well as you would think.
So the scenic route became One Iron Bandits. Is that the scenery you were looking at?
There aren't any good trails on the way there. No, we were on some mountain road that everything but Bigfoot ran in front of us.
It was quite
frightening. That's hilarious.
Thank you so much for calling,
Dawn.
I got to let Dr.
I'm definitely going to look deeper into this. I think this is a really cool topic, and I'm going to look deeper into it. And I see you all the time online. I will keep you apprised of what I find out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you, Dawn. Take care.
Too.
Bye-bye. Take care. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about if we got no calls, but I think we did really well with calls. So.
I think so too. Hey, I got to run. I've had since we've been on the phone, I've had four people calling for tours tonight, and it's pouring rain. I don't know what the hell they expect, but you know it's a walking ghost tour.
That's what I figured.
One lady calls me and she goes, well, it's raining here in Branson and there's nothing to do, so we thought we'd take a walking ghost tour. And I go, think that one through again.
It's not indoors. Well, thank you, Doc, and thank you everyone who called in. I hope we were able to help a bit. I want you to have a wonderful week. God bless. We will try and top what we've been doing so far. And I don't know what else we could come to other than an on-air murder or something. But we will try our best. Thank you all for listening. Dr. Chuck, thank you for being here. And thanks for all your help and your answers and your wisdom.
Well, my pleasure. Take care. I'll talk to you soon, Christina. Everyone else, God bless, folks.
God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Whoa.